This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann, and I am joined from a Christmassy Whakatani by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. What are your plans for Christmas?
Lots of whānau, kai, gardening, and writing a book.
We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about that for the New Year's show.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Because what we're trying to do is Christmas Eve, looking back, New Year's Eve, looking forward.
Perfect. And what are your plans for Christmas?
Christmas Eve is Christmas at Mum's place. I think there's a lot of people coming this year. I know that because Mum's rule is presents have to be second-hand made or grown. And my making of presents has gotten more elaborate over the years. And Mum does have a tendency to invite quite a lot of people for Christmas. And so anyway, this year I'm making prints of people's, essentially the view from their house, except that you can see their house. And it's quite entertaining. It's a really good way of switching off from work. The week or so before Christmas making things. Other members of my family might say it all gets a bit frantic, and it probably does, and I should start earlier, but I really like that, using it to switch off from work.
How many of them will you make?
I think it's 9.
Holy. I've seen these prints, and they're incredible. There's a lot of work that is going into making these.
There is. But I'm sure that people will like them. And they're getting framed by David. My stepfather is making the frame. So it's a joint present from us both.
That is so cool. And what's your process that you're using for them?
I am using a painting on glass for the sea and the sky, painting on glass the sea and the sky, and then marking it with my fingernails and a piece of steel wool. That's the sea and the sky. And then you mask that out, or you make a sort of a stencil thing that sits over the top of that. And then the hills are either cut out leather or cut out card and inked up separately so you can get different colours. Very quickly arrange the jigsaw puzzle before the ink dries, and then put the sort of the thing that masks out the edge and does the registration, lines up the piece of paper, and then rub it on the back of the paper.
I think we need to put a photo of the finished product on the link for this.
Yeah.
People can see it, because it's just extraordinary.
About 1 out of 4 looks like it should do. But that's okay.
I love this. Sam, if you ever did decide to retire, God help us all if you did, that would be so terrible, and what would we all do? But if you ever did, there are so many things that you could do to fill your time.
Yes. I know what I was going to make for this Christmas didn't happen, but maybe it's a plan for next Christmas.
Well, are we gonna? Do we get a preview, or we have to wait till next Christmas?
Well, I accidentally last year I got the Nutcracker soldier sort of thing blanks, and I adapted them, turned one into a kayaker and one into a karka.
I remember that.
Yeah, and Mum's one turned into an automaton, so that you could turn a handle and it kind of danced. Well, it kind of jiggled, but it kind of danced. And I really enjoyed that, but I wish I'd done better. And so the plan for this year was to be actually, like, do something with the sort of a turn a handle and something happens made out of wood. And I've got the plans for it, and I just ran out of time.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a plan for next year, or maybe that is a plan for the retirement in however many years it is, 15 years.
Many, many, many more years.
Let's take a song. Who should we play? Let's have Nia Nichols, I'm a Marionette.
She pulls all my strings, and she cuts the ties. When she gets bored of me, I was carved from wood with love, detail attentive. Then she threw me in a box, 'cause now she prefers plastic. She doesn't get it, she thinks she can retie the strings at her knees. She gets tired of me quickly, then she runs back to her plastic dolls. I never speak a word as I sink into the ground. When someone shows me their interest, she always comes back around. She doesn't get it, she thinks she can retie the strings at her knees.
Looking back on the year.
What a year.
I'm going to be... Let's do a 10 questions, except let's just ask two. I'm going to ask you to your two best things, one work and one not work. What are you going to start with?
I'm going to start with work.
Okay. What is the best thing about this year, Mawira?
The best thing about this year was that the University of Otago created a new role as a trial to see how it would go and offered me the role, and that is the ethics advisor Māori. so that our students are able to engage in the entire ethics process all in te reo. And then, if they're writing their work in Māori, they can then write their ethics process in Māori. That comes to me, I read it, correspond with them all in the reo, so that they, you know, to get the ethics up to the to where they need it to be able to submit. And then I present their work for them in English at the ethics committee. And then they get a response also in Māori. So if for as you know, I'm really mindful that here in the Eastern Bay of Plenty, 50% Māori, and many, 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 many young people, Māori is their first language. So it means that young people can go into our University of Otago and engage in that process all in their own language. And I bloomin' love that. And I'm so proud of the university for being so courageous, because we're the only mainstream university in Aotearoa that offers that. And that got made a permanent role for me on Friday last week.
Awesome.
So I'm so proud that our university's doing this and that I get to be part of it. And it's just the greatest thing, like professionally, it just feels so blooming good, Sam.
It's good to have a thing that feels blooming good, Sam.
Yeah, it does. Yep, so that's my work question. What's your best work thing?
I'm going to follow up on that first. Are there concepts that work or don't work?
Not that we've found yet. And what was really cool is another thing happened is that one of my colleagues in the management department had a student who has Māori as a first language, and he was able to say yes when they requested to submit their critical personal reflections in te reo Māori, and then that was also sent to me. So I got to read through their work and grade it against the requirements for the paper and give it a grade. So not translate it, and that's what's beautiful. It's not translation. It's reading it in its intended form. And that's the key, because if you wrote something to me in Māori and I then translated it and then gave it to someone else, it's like third hand, and too much of that is lost. Too much of your intent as the writer is lost. And so what makes it just so beautiful is that it's not translation. It keeps it as close to the writer as possible. And I think that's a really important consideration. So nothing's not working yet, but not to say that there isn't something that won't work, but I'll be excited to solve that problem when it comes up, whatever it is.
At the Polytech, not the university, of course, we've got one that probably is in that space, somebody working with I've forgotten the name of the Marae that's on, that the Marae is actually at their, on their site. And it's all about partnership with Māori.
Yeah.
And we've just spent ages filling in this very long ethics form. And she wanted to do it so that it was in part, the filling in the form was in partnership with Māori.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's still filling in this form about confidentiality and how anonymity will be maintained and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just seems so far away from a relationship-based kaupapa, whatever, however it's described.
Yeah.
Relationship that you would want to have. I would imagine that if you're doing this work on a marae, the relationship would be you hold the mana of the participants, full
exactly.
stop.
Exactly. And that's exactly
enough.
It.
And that's enough. And you shouldn't need to go through this very long thing, which just seems wrong.
And especially that would be the case. So if you think about the difference between a category A and a category B ethics, so your category A is where you know that there is a really high risk of something going wrong and there is so much more that has to be thought about and lots of people have to, you know, give consideration to the implications of it, to make sure that you've thought of everything and that you've got some way to address them. So mostly health related. Category B ethics, where it is where there's no children involved and there's no health involved, then we should be able to be more to take that kaupapa Māori kind of approach. So using, and so we do, I mean, that when, if you read through the ethics forms that we've been developing, they take that kaupapa Māori approach anyway, as they should. So it's not translating, because that's a, translating something is just putting the same language in the same cultural context, but just, you know, different shaped words.
Probably a discussion for next year, but one of the things that I am proud about, but not my number one proud thing this year, is a couple of papers that we wrote about changing the approach for ethics, moving it to a maturity model, relationship-based ethics. Still at category A level, yeah. But taking a different approach. We'll see how that goes next year. Let's take another song. Let's have T-Rex, Life's a Gas.
I could have loved you, girl, like a planet. I could have changed your heart to a star. But it really doesn't matter at all. No, it really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. I could have built a house on the ocean. I could have placed our love in the sky. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. I could have turned you into a priestess. I could have burned your feet in the sand. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. I hope it's gonna last. Life's a guy.
Okay. Sam, what is your amazing thing that happened at work this year?
Oh, so many things to choose from. But I'm going to go for the trip to Africa. Not just for trip to Africa, but for the work that we did there. I don't know if you remember that the conference, which is computing education, and its mission is to build the computing education research community globally.
Yes.
And by globally, what that means is the Global South, because there's already a strong community in the Global North. And it was in India 2 years ago, and they had a very successful conference, except if you looked at the source of the papers, there were very few Indian papers.
Wow.
And so for an international conference that was about building that capability, and it still managed to hold its international standing in terms of the acceptance rate. I think it's a stupid way of measuring quality, but there you go. That is the measure of quality for academic research. It's how many papers did you reject? and they rejected the right number, except that it looks like they rejected too many Indian papers.
Yeah.
So we set out for the conference in Botswana to make sure that that didn't happen again, and that it was very much a... The first thing we did was to set up a regional program advisory committee and ask them, what would it take? What were you hoping for? What would be the legacy for this conference? And they said the thing that they wanted more than anything was for it to be an international conference, but not to be an international conference that happened to be in Africa.
Right.
They really wanted it to be an international, an African conference, an African computing education conference with international standing. And so that's what we set out to do. We still maintained the same acceptance rate, but I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but something like half the papers had at least one author from the Global South.
Yeah.
There were... I think it was 280 submitted authors from the Global South. All on all of those sorts of measures. And that wasn't just we certainly didn't lower the quality, but in some senses we did change the definition of quality. Computing education can be very positivist. It can be very sort of experimental. The assumption is that what you're doing is you've got your class of 400 and you'll split them into two and you do an experiment on half of them. It's sort of the expectation of the papers, of reviewers. And so saying, actually, there's different stories to be told. When I went to Africa the previous year Botswana and Namibia and various other places, and they said, we can't submit to that conference because our students are too different. Our students come from villages. They haven't touched a computer until they come to start their computer science degrees.
That's so fascinating.
For me, that's the interesting bit. That's what I want to find out about. How does that change how you engage with computing, with computing education?
Exactly.
And so I looked quite a lot last year at the fact that all of the universities that I went to had a similar kind of mission statement, which was African academic international excellence, a node of African excellence, international excellence, or something like that. And then when you go and look at the curriculum, when you go and look at the materials in the library, at one place, the head of department and I spent a good half an hour looking for a textbook or a book in the library that had an African author. There weren't any. So if you're looking at the world through the lens of all the problems we're trying to solve look very similar to the ones you're trying to solve in Seattle or in San Jose, then you're going to end up with Amazon and Uber as the models of what we're trying to solve. For these women that are coming from the village that haven't touched a computer, Amazon and Uber are not the models that are actually appropriate for an African context.
Exactly.
That's not in their wheelhouse. We worked really, really hard to do that, and I was really, really pleased with the outcome. We had really fantastic keynotes that told local stories. One of them telling a local story looking out, and one of them telling a local story looking sort of in. Because we didn't want it to just be the people that were coming locally. We still wanted to bring them something that was like coming from the outside. That worked really well. It was a great group of people. It was a big success. I was thrilled to bits with the whole thing. I'm not sure where we're going in 2 years' time, but it'll be somewhere different.
Have they ever been here?
We're not Global South.
Okay, that's the problem. Yep. So they can't come here.
They can't come here. We're likely to be going to Latin America or South America.
Right.
Is the feeling of where we haven't been and we're likely to go. So that's a very different set of challenges, but that will be most entertaining.
Oh, exciting.
I'm putting another song on. I'm putting a lot of songs on today. I'm having Molotov Jukebox, Give It A Go.
And I said, no, 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 I wanna give it a go, go, go. I wanna know, no, no, how could it be a lie? Someone's arms and didn't say, baby, no, 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 I wanna give it a go, go, go. I wanna know, no, no, how could it be a lie? Someone's arms and didn't say, baby. Trial and error after trial and error from the bus stop, fever to the cold. Goodbye, I've broken a few hearts, they fit mine. Then I said, never, never, never again, only one night stands for me. Another one comes along, I give it so easily. And I said, no, 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 I wanna give it a go, go, go. I wanna no, 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 how could it be? It's the line someone's home, turn it and say, baby, go, go, go. I wanna give it a go, go, go. I wanna no, 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 how could it be? It's the line someone's home, turn it and say, baby. No advice, so easy in my life. Says, no, 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 you're gonna give it a go, go, go. Cause you know, no, no, I gotta feel it's the light in my arms and you say, baby, no, 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 you're gonna give it a go, go, go. Cause you know, no, no, I gotta feel it's the light in my arms and hear me say,
we are celebrating the year. What is your best thing that's not work?
Probably being Jack's mum. That's been my, it's been so fun raising this kid. But this year he's had an extraordinary year, which finished off with him turning 16 last month, finishing off his NCEA with excellence even before his exams. Getting his driver's license on his birthday, firearms license as well. Like he's just, you know, like he's ticked off all his goals, and it's been really joyful for me as his mum to be able to support him achieving his things. And I think, you know, as a parent, that's the best, isn't it? When our kids go, right, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then we say, oh, what can we do to support? And we do that thing, and then they tick them off, and that's like that's the aim of the game, really, isn't it? So being Jack's mum has been extraordinary this year.
He has certainly had visions that he has followed through on.
Yeah, he definitely does that. Yep. You know, I remember at the beginning of the year when the government first passed that legislation, which took away our Māori wards and forced a referendum. And he said, right, I'm going to walk to Tauranga and I'm going to carry a sign that says support Māori wards. And I said, okay. So he came up with his plan, and the plan was fatally flawed in so many ways, but he still did it. And then a storm came in, which meant he couldn't come home, and which was really good considering that his feet were just a mess of raw blisters, raw, like so raw. And I remember seeing his raw blisters on the front page of the Herald. And it was, so he, you know, but he learned a lot from that. And he, so when the storm passed, I said to him, why don't you bike home? Because his feet were still tender. I said, you know, because he wanted to finish the journey, because he was supposed to walk to Tauranga and back. And so 160 something kilometres. So he's like, oh yeah, biking is cool, because, you know, he's a mountain biker. So I drove him back to Tauranga with his bike, and then he biked back to Whakatane. And while he was en route, he came up with this plan to bike to Wellington to hand deliver a letter to the Prime Minister explaining why we need Māori wards. And so in the next holidays, he had done all the preparation, had found places to stay, stayed with strangers, and on the first Saturday of the next school holidays, he set off on his bike and biked 1,000 kilometres to Wellington.
Wow.
So that was just such a huge thing to watch my 15-year-old do, unsupported. So nobody was following him. This is something he did all on his own. And the thing that cracks me up when I think about it was the conversations he had with cows. Because he, because he would go entire days without talking to anybody except for the cows in the paddocks. And he'd create these scenarios and have these big arguments with them and all sorts of things like that. And of course, cows love engaging with humans. And so they'd come up and engage with the conversation with him. And he saw a lot of things, and he learned a lot of things about traffic, because he's not a road biker. He learned that people in cars can be unkind. People in trucks are generally amazing, gave him heaps of space, looked after him on the road, checked in with him, but the greatest lesson of all of that was learning that Christopher Luxon not only doesn't care about Māori and Māori wards, but also doesn't care about our rangatahi. And that's because he didn't even, not only did he not turn up when Jack turned up with his letter, but he didn't even send anybody from his government, which is incredibly disrespectful. Yeah, so Christopher Hipkins from the Labour Party, he turned up, and a whole bunch of other really cool people from Labour.
I remember we had Jack on the show a few years ago, and it was quite hard work.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was little.
But when we had him on the show just after that bike ride, and he was the most talkative, confident person ever, I think all that practice talking to cows must have paid off.
That's the key to success in life, conversations with cows.
Right.
We need to write that as our next book.
Right, I can see a sheep. I can't see a cow to talk to.
Oh, you've got chickens, eh? Chickens work too. I sit in the garden and talk to chickens a lot.
Let's take another music track. Let's have a Duncan Disorderly and the Scallywags, Beautiful Day.
Everybody seeing what it is they want to see. Ooh. at a price, we get the bad for free. Living in a world, we call it insanity. Umdaka, come now and comfort me, 'cause it's a beautiful day. Oh, it's all so nice. It's a beautiful day. Everything's alright. Hey! Yes, they drifting away.
Oh,
come on, you gotta free your mind. They're gonna tell you a little story about how we're gonna find a place to go and a place to play, where we can hop from all the creatures that are out to stay. Freedom, it's a state of mind. A place to go from time to time. I get away even only for a little bit. Oh, come on, let your inhibitions sit. We gotta feel it coming through. Rhythm and the blues, just relax and let it do what it's gonna do. Let your hair down, come on, spin around. Modern day hippie coming up and getting down. Started, think I'm in a new revolution. Singing, baby, maybe someday we could break this illusion. 'Cause it's a beautiful day. Oh, it's so, so nice. It's a beautiful day. Everything's alright. It's a beautiful day. Oh, it's all so nice. It's a beautiful day. Everything's alright.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you are around this world, this is your moment, this is your time, and you can get down and get involved. If you're driving your car, cooking some dinner, up with your mates, or just in a state, this is your time, it's your rhythm break, so get involved, get involved.
Everything's all right.
what was your best non-work thing about this year?
Well, you went for family, so I'm going for family as well. But I can't pick. I can't pick which is the best. Which is the best thing?
Then say all of them. They can be all first equal.
They'll all be first equal. Well, Phoebe, of course, has produced River, and that's very exciting. He's such a cool kid. He's what?
9 months old.
No, I don't think he's 9. I think he's 8 months.
Is he?
I think he's 8 months. Phoebe's doing a fantastic job. Matt's doing a fantastic job. He's a smiley, happy kid. He's very long. He's like on the... well, all of our family has got long backs. Sitting down with the tallest, you know, we're taller than any basketballer sitting down. And I think he's headed in that same direction. Little legs, long back. And he's certainly looking like that. He's happy. And we had him at the museum yesterday. I'm not sure how much he's taking into the museum. But he does seem to enjoy going around the animal attic and looking at the different animals. It certainly, his eyes are bright, and that's exciting. Oliver's doing fantastic. He's in Wanaka, doing really well at the regional council, team lead for the catchments and catchment advisors, and he seems to be getting some other jobs thrown in on top of that. It's going to be an interesting year, for them at the regional council, as you're well aware.
Yeah, gosh, yes.
Who knows what's happening to regional councils in the next year? It's interesting, isn't it? The whole lack of understanding of what the job is that the regional council does.
Yep.
That it's I keep seeing people saying it's just terrible. One council is saying go ahead with this work, and the other council is saying no, you can't. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's the point of having one group that's all about let's do this development, and another group about looking after the
exactly.
And saying, is that the right thing to be doing? I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can be so short-sighted on that. But maybe that's a discussion for another time. He's having a great time in doing that job from Wanaka, which is a bit of a dream for the outdoors.
And having just been in Wanaka for a week or so recently, I can't think of a better place to do that job, to be honest. What a great place.
Yeah. Probably not so much over the next 2 or 3 weeks, because it kind of gets flooded. There's a lot of people in Wanaka. They're probably there already, but certainly after Christmas and through New Year, you can't move. But I'm sure there's lots of places that are very nice that get swamped for a while. And Henry is in Christchurch. He's still working for... he's now working for Kia Aerospace. And it's like his... Aerospace. It's like, that's all it needs to say. And Henry's happy. And test launching their missions. They're calling them missions. Missions on there with the high altitude solar plane. It's very cool.
That's so exciting.
It's so exciting that work is happening here. I mean, and not just them. There's several other organisations, several other companies, really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Hmm.
And it's like that. Is it the one of the Finn brothers, Neil Finn, I think, song? They didn't know that it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's sort of special about New Zealand, is that no one told us that you couldn't do that.
Yeah, and you just go and do it because someone says, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could, you know, make a high altitude solar plane? And someone else goes, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that then. And you just go and do it. And it's great. It's how life should be.
And it doesn't take the $1 billion that it might take in the States
or
most other places. Although I'm sure they wouldn't say no to $1 billion.
I love being in a country full of people with big imaginations and a willingness to give stuff a go.
Yeah.
feel the fear and do it anyway. That's actually should be the motto of this country, because we just do it. Just get on with it.
Just get on with it.
We had no idea that it couldn't be done, and we needed to find a like-minded someone. Who had no idea that it couldn't be done? No idea. Send the darkness back to Europe, waking up in the warm Pacific sun.
That is a good year for our families, for us professionally. And there's some challenges in Aotearoa, and there's some bigger challenges in the world, there's still some hopefulness as well.
We haven't been playing Christmas songs. One year we played Christmas songs for all of December, but we haven't done it at all, not even today. But we're going out to a Christmas song. What are we going out to?
We're going out to Holly Jolly Christmas by Martin Sexton, my favourite author. And have I got time to tell you, Sam? I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah.
That on Spotify, you know, that thing, that report they give you about your listening for the year, I am his 23rd top listener at 0.0007. So I'm excited that I got to be that, because I didn't even know that was a thing. So to find out that this amazing artist who is based in America, who's my favourite singer, I do listen to him an awful lot.
So we're going out to Martin Sexton, Holly Jolly Christmas, for Mawira and his other 22 listeners.
Exactly.
And wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. A one, two, three. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. Merry Christmas.
Oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.